about babies?
He was giving me nonsense all day.
He gave you some lip. He gave you lip.
Yeah, he gave me some hard lip.
And he put you in your place, bitch.
That's fine. That's fine. Off limits.
Yeah.
Off limits here. Once the live goes out, bring him on.
He's sleeping. He has pneumonia. Leave him alone.
Oh, Jesus. Great. Now I feel really bad. All right, gentlemen. Are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay. Bobby, new room. Looking good?
Yep. New room for everybody.
That a boy. Ray, what, are you still down 13 pounds? Because that's been the going.
15.
15.
God, yep. He's literally melting away.
Melting away.
Melting away.
Good for you.
Yep.
I don't
notice away like your hairline.
How much more till you hit the target?
God damn it. I had a good one. You just fucking talked all over it.
Sorry.
I said melting away. I said melting away like your hairline.
Oh, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Notice how we're all laughing. What do you say?
Jack's laughing. He says all
I can't see Jack.
And I can. Good. Good. I can see Jack, and he's laughing his ass off right now.
Way to give away the show. We have a special guest on the show, but before we get to that, why don't we do some opening takes? So we do on every show. Let's start off with some opening takes. Ray, dumbass, why don't you kick us off with your opening take for the show, please?
If you don't know who you're taking at number three, you should just be trading it away. There's it's either Jaden Daniels or Drake May at this point. Now just get picks, trade back, go back, get Joe Alt from the offensive tackle. Just trade away picks and bolster that offensive line for Jacoby Brissett, for Gardner Minshew, whoever's going to be here playing quarterback for the New England Patriots for 2024. Because these two obviously aren't going to be the guys. So just go out there and trade away. Build up that line like I've been saying all along.
Oh, yeah, you've been saying that?
All along. Oh, yeah, throw that hat on. Oh, self-conscious, huh?
Speaking of self-conscious, why don't you play producer and give us a single shot when people are talking, like you're supposed to. Starting with me right now for my opening take, and this one's for you, Jack, in the waiting room, apparently. The Celtics are dumb front-running pussies. This is the same team they have been for 4 years running, 2021 underachieved, 2022 underachieved, 2023 underachieving, 2023, 2024. Best record in basketball, best team in basketball, best starting five. You know when I heard that? Last year. Right before they shit the bed against the terrible Heat, the 8-seed Heat. They go down 3-0 and then poop down their pants in game 7. Jaylen Brown with one of the worst game 7 performances I've ever seen. And the loss the other night to the Cavs, the 22-point blown lead in the fourth quarter, is just yet another example. There have not been many tests this year, but basically the Celtics have failed all of them when it comes to close and late, which is really the only test they have to pass. Moving forward, we understand Jason Tatum's a top five player talent-wise. We understand Jaylen Brown has his $300 million contract. Kristaps Porzingis is the perfect fit for this team. Drew Holiday, the trades were perfect this offseason. Everything's perfect. The best team, arguably, in Celtics history, statistic-wise. But they can't execute down the stretch. They still can't do it. And until they do it, that's the team. Between your guy, Joey Mazzulla, Bobby, and the wannabe MVP, wants it so goddamn bad, he's blowing 20-point leads in the fourth quarter, Jason Tatum. They better have the shit on. They might be so goddamn talented it doesn't matter this year because the league is – the East is certainly down, and they are that much better. But four close games in a series, and they might be toast because they still can't execute down the stretch. Bobby?
With the NFL free agency set to kick off next week, the true offseason begins, and then we will finally see the shape how the Patriots are going to take place. There's going to be a lot of things that happening. A lot of people have gotten cut. Teams trimming the fat for players they don't want anymore. Don't get fooled. Just because there is players out there, and you know you might read a website that says that you want them. Don't. Not every player is good. You don't want that. No, put a little thought before you think and do it. Just because you need a left tackle, any left tackle won't do. We need to think and talk this through.
Yeah,
talk it through, everybody.
Certainly not the best.
Not every decision is a good decision.
Sir, when talking about left tackles, what you really want to do is avoid the best one available when there's four of them on the market.
You don't even believe it.
You're goddamn just advice.
You just want to be disagreeable. You've been disagreeable for weeks.
We will. My middle name is goddamn disagreeable. That's what the whole show is built on.
That was fun.
Yeah, simple minds. We will certainly get into that. The show rundown, we're going to do Celtics chat with Jack. Jack Simone in the waiting room. Hi, Jack. Can't see you, Ray Ken. Sorry for you. We're going to do some Patriots offseason. Obviously, rumors are starting to fly more and more each day. We're going to have some free agency talk. We'll unveil that fourth wall curtain into our text chain and let you know how that base of the bottom of the totem pole of dumb is getting stronger every day with the Chief now doing his best totem pole construction. It's getting good. It's getting very sound. So we'll talk about that. A little Red Sox news, a little Red Sox roster news. There's some breaking news this week. A couple moves this week. But spoiler alert, they still blow. A this or that with Chief Bobby and, of course, Simplest Minds of the Week. This is the Simplest Minds Sports Show Friday Rewind Thursday night, March 7th. Flash Ace, welcome to the show. Oh, he's here already. Hi, Jack.
Hello. I just popped up right after the intro. I was sick.
Very sneaky. I think you underestimate the amount of your sneakiness. If you're watching on YouTube, sorry. Ray didn't let me get this off before we had Jack jump on, but it's not like we've been doing the show for 4 years. If you're watching on YouTube, you're welcome. Looking very good. We have an addition with a beautiful caterpillar. In one Jack Simone. So you're welcome from that. If you're listening on your preferred podcast platforms, remember, rate, subscribe, review, tell your friends, and as always, tell your mothers. With us is Jack Simone. So Jack, it's been a little bit since we talked. Right off the bat, give you a little plug. Where you work? Last time we spoke to you, you're working with like 16 different publications. So where are you at now?
We've slimmed down a little bit. So for Celtics stuff, which is what the people here care about, I have with Celtics Blog, which is SB Nation. So CelticsBlog.com is where you can find all my written work. On top of that, I host a podcast, How About Them Celtics, which is on YouTube, all the podcast platforms. You guys know the deal. So all those places. So appreciate it. Thanks for having me again.
You still doing this Charlotte Hornets stuff?
I'm not. I ended that years ago. Yeah, I got out before the hell started, luckily.
Good.
Yeah.
But you did have to cover – was there a portion of time where you had to cover Glass Gordon Hayward?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think I wrote for the Hornets SB Nation site, and the NBA director or somebody messaged me once saying, I like this line. I called Gordon Hayward pistachio ice cream in the sense that when you get to the front of the line, they're out of everything else. You'll take it, but it just kind of sucks. So that was what I used to describe Gordon Hayward, right?
I like that. That's good.
That's what I rock with.
Thank you. Pistachio ice cream that costs $100 million. So not bad.
It's tough. Tough look.
The title of the show, if Ray had any balls, would be "The Celtics Are Dumb Front-Running Pussies," and that's my opening take.
I don't think YouTube would let that go, so that's why I just
we're on YouTube.
Might get a little it might get shoved down the rabbit hole a little bit.
This is coming obviously off the loss, the 105-104 loss to the Cavs last night and the night before. My brain doesn't work.
Tuesday.
22-point blown fourth quarter lead. But really the focus is what my opening take was, and I won't repeat it, but Jason Tatum's 19 seconds of pounding the fucking ball into the ground before he took a terrible shot against a horrible defender and then bitched at the refs yet again. So I throw it to you, Jack. Would you consider that a fair or unfair assessment that the Celtics are dumb front-running pussies?
I think multiple things can be true. I don't think the Celtics are front-running. They're a good basketball team. They have been the best basketball team in the league the best team in the league the whole season. However, they're objectively not good in the last 10 seconds of the game. You could look at the stats. We did a whole 30 minutes on this in our last show, like evaluating, oh, look at this. Look at what another team did to try to get an open shot that doesn't necessarily have like a score like Tatum. Like, are these guys going to sets? Because the Celtics just run Tatum, take a mid-range shot. And you can blame a lot of that on Tatum, right? You even look at the shot against the Cavs. Like, I bet you all the money in my bank account, Tatum's made that exact shot a million times in practice. But the point is, he hasn't made them this season, right? He's not making those shots this season. They're 0-7, I think, in the last 5 seconds of a game that is tied or they are losing in, right? They're objectively not good at making shots in that spot, which is an important spot to be in, especially heading into the playoffs. So I think that's true. I think at the same time, it's not all on Tatum, right? Some of it goes to, Joe Mazzulla will draw something up. Some of it goes to what the fuck are the other players on the court doing? They're just standing there, right? They could move. They could try to get open. They could do something. So it's definitely a problem, but I don't think it can be pinpointed on just Mazzulla or just Tatum. I think it's a team issue. And for the most part this season, not even for the most part, in general, Celtics have been very good at responding to issues that they've had because there have been few of them. They've only lost back-to-back games one time this year as we're recording this. They're playing the Nuggets tonight, which is a big, big, big spot for them because it is a chance to bounce back after that tough Cavs loss. So I don't think they're front-running. I still think they're one of the best teams in the league. However, that is very clearly a problem for them this year.
Yeah, so I'll give you some of those stats. And just clarification, if you'd like, if the Celtics as a whole are not front-running dumb pussies, then Jason Tatum and Joe Mazzulla, maybe. That's still on the chopping block.
We'll
save that for later.
Quick question, though.
Let me give these stats, and I'll give it to you, Ray, because I know you agree with Jack. But you're in the last 5 seconds, tied or to take the lead, Jason Tatum is 0-for-5 in those situations this year, and the Celtics are combined 0-for-9. Mm-hmm, and then when you take those clutch stats, and I'll just give them to you and give it to you, Ray, the green teamers, as they're so widely put, will give you this stat that the traditional clutch stat, and Jack, you probably know this, but the traditional clutch statistic is a 5-point game within the last 5 minutes of the game. The Celtics in those situations are 17-9. But once you start to crunch those numbers, 4-point game within 4 minutes, they're 14-9. 3-point game in 3 minutes, they're 11-9. 2 points in 3 minutes, they're 8-8. And then most importantly, that 1-point game with 1 minute left, they're 4-6. So I get, obviously my statement is overblown. But I don't think front running is that far away from the definition of this team when it comes to being able to execute in clutch and late situations. They just haven't proven that they can do it. So Ray, if you can't execute in those tight and close late situations, you can only win when you have a lead, a significant lead going into the end of the game. Wouldn't that be front running?
No, not at all.
Okay.
My question, though, is who would you want to have the ball in their hand going up the court at the last second shot?
Derek White.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't like to agree with you, you son of a bitch, but yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think there is a very true sentiment to you want the ball in your best player's hands, and that's still Jason Tatum. As much as he's struggled in those spots, like, he's still the best player in the team. But I do think there is an important distinction where, like, the biggest problem is he should have gone faster against the Cavs, right? He just didn't go fast enough, and he said as much after the game, and so that was a problem. The issue is if you get the ball to Derek White and Porzingis and they run a pick and roll, because that's like been one of the best things this year. Porzingis and Derek White are the two best clutch players in like the fucking league, not just the Celtics. So they're awesome. They don't miss. But I also think the important context there is too, like, they don't miss in clutch time because a lot of the time it is Jason Tatum who is setting it up. Jason Tatum, right, who's drawing a double team and kicking it to him. Jaylen Brown, who's finding this stuff like that. And so I think that's important as well. And in the exact spot, like, if we're just going to use the Cavs game as an example, which, first of all, I don't think the biggest problem in the game was the final play. I think the biggest problem in the game was the last 10 minutes when they blew a 22-point lead.
Well, but, yeah, they took their foot off the gas and they
exactly
defaulted back to their terrible habits that they had last year, which
which hasn't happened a lot this year.
It has not.
It is a rare thing. But I think in that specific spot, like, I would need to look and double check, but like, he didn't go fast enough. And to Joe Mazzulla's credit, he tried to call a timeout. The refs just didn't like hear him or see him, which
allegedly.
How dare you, Jack? How dare you?
He tried to call a timeout. Now, at the same time, could mentally, he have ran out?
Tried mentally call a timeout. Did he use his psychedelic powers? He's like, timeout. Timeout.
I think, to your credit, should he have run out on the court to like get them to see him? Yes. Also, why the fuck didn't the players call a timeout? Like, why didn't they have the option?
They haven't. Joe Mazzulla's entire tenure.
I know
he doesn't use timeouts. Those are overrated.
He does use timeouts, but it's just not. He's weird about the timeouts. I'll give you that
much. Bobby,
if you call a timeout, Jack, then he has to draw up a play, and then the players will know that he can't do that.
Joe Mazzulla is actually one of the best after timeout play coaches in the league. So
shut the fuck up, Jack.
But I'm just telling you what is the fact.
Big Chief Gay Bobby is the biggest Joe Mazzulla hater basically on the planet, and he called it from day one. So
day one.
This is not a unbiased situation. Look, you can't deny that he's part of it, though. Sure, he tried to call a timeout with 4 seconds left. They had 19.
He's not devoid of blame. Absolutely.
The second Tatum starts walking that ball up with the I'm the MVP of the league strut, timeout. Right. And what I'd like, and to your, to their credit, to your credit, what we saw last year was that the last, literally the last 4 minutes of every single game was Tatum bringing the ball up in ISO ball and playing off him. Now it's almost like they're literally that this good that the only thing will beat them is not beating back their shitty habits. Like if they could, if 19 seconds, if you just came and ran a set and worked the ball, it'll get back to Tatum. Probably wide open to shoot the damn thing. So that's the frustrating part. And I put that not squarely on Tatum, but he's their best player. He has a ton of influence, a lot on Joe Mazzulla. And then just write down your line. Jaylen Brown, you're making $300 million. Speak up. You're the hottest goddamn player on this court this last six, seven, eight games. Get him the ball. Like, so it's just frustrating to see them fall back
into
both habits.
The issue with some of those things, and like the Jaylen Brown thing in particular, he didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter, which is like, you look at the box, you're like, what the fuck are we doing? He didn't have a good night. And Jaylen Brown in those spots, for as phenomenal of a player as he is, and I don't want to go down the whole, did he deserve the contract or not? You have to pay him or you lose him. And you can't lose a player like that for nothing, right? That's just the end of the day. Jaylen Brown in those spots is nowhere near the decision maker as Tatum is, and you can nitpick Tatum's decisions. He made a bad decision against the Cavs, objectively so. That was not good. But Jason Tatum, throughout the course of his career and in general, is a far better playmaker and decision maker than Jaylen Brown. And so putting the ball in Jaylen Brown's hands, you run the risk of, like, what happened again? You remember the Pacers game where Brown got fouled but didn't get fouled, they got hit in the head, whatever happened? He had Al Horford just, like, butt naked open on the other side of the court. He didn't see him. And then you look at the Thunder game where the Celtics sucked in the third quarter, came back. Jason Tatum, it goes unnoticed because they didn't win the game, but Jason Tatum, with like 10 seconds left of the game, drove to the lane, draw three defenders, kicked it to Porzingis, and he made a three to bring it within one. So like, that's the difference between those two guys right there. Now you just need the progression of go quicker, learn from your mistakes. And Porzingis said after the game, like, this loss is good for us. And while it sucks and you don't want to lose by 22 points, you understand the context of winning every game doesn't give you anything to learn from. And they're fucking with some, definitely they can learn from that game. So
yeah,
I think their mind was
a matter of go ahead.
Do you think their mind was already going into Denver? Do you think like they had a 20-point lead going into now we're going to play the defending champs? That was like, get our priorities onto that now.
Well, we watched, so on our podcast, we watched the last, like, I don't know how often we watched like all of the Celtics shots and all of the Cavs threes, because the threes are really what did it. And like in the fourth quarter, the Cavs threes started, they just made like contested ones, like they made three like in their face, Celtics right there defending threes in a row. And then Boston started to lag. Like, Jrue Holiday got caught ball watching once. Porzingis got caught ball watching once. And then Tatum got caught ball watching. And then Dean Wade just turned into Steph Curry. And then offensively, like, they missed some shots they usually make in tandem with, I think there was a little bit of, I don't want to call it panic, but a little bit of like, oh shit, we're losing this, let me try to do something from them, which is an old habit that they have broken for most of the season. But, It was a, and this is why I said at the start of the show, I think multiple things can be true. It was a mix of the Celtics puking on themselves for a little bit. And also, like, I'm sorry, you give Dean Wade 5 of 5 open threes, he's not going to make all five of them like 9 out of 10 times. So yeah, it was a perfect mix, but that doesn't excuse the way the Celtics played.
Yeah. And I'll just say this and throw it over to you, Bob, if you have any thoughts. But, and it's tough to still look at Jason Tatum, who would have just turned 26, and Brown 27, and go, they still have things to learn, because they have been so competitive, and, you know, Eastern Conference Finals, Tatum's rookie year, playoffs every year, you know, one of the top perennial best teams in the league. It just feels like they're on the precipice of winning every year and come up short, but they are still, you know, right at or underneath kind of that prime age of when NBA players tend to get their championships. And I think that that is still one last learned skill from Jason Tatum, is that those last understanding where his best place on the court is in those last second tied or go ahead spots. Cause he just looks panicky and frantic. And like, if he just played within the offense and didn't worry about the clock and made the right read, he would probably, you know, that 0 for 5 would turn into a lot better numbers. So that is definitely something that can be learned.
He's also 26, like you said, though. I mean, he's still young.
That's fine, but look, Kobe had it at 18. You know,
Kobe's the guy that had it. Kobe had the Mamba. I mean,
but yeah. Bron didn't have it. he didn't have it until he beat the Celtics in 13 in game six.
And that's right? What I'm saying. That, so Tatum still has 30. A little room to grow. So
that's
mean,
what I'm fucking saying.
No, that's right? What I'm saying. You're just taking words out of my mouth, you son of a bitch.
Bobby, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this game with the Celtics, I think it probably has a little bit of a letdown, too, coming off that big Golden State blowout. I'm sure they're feeling themselves a little bit. They've been playing very well lately. They had their win streak there. Ray and I had discussed some of the positive points on the last Celtics podcast that we had done there.
Very positive show, by the way.
In general, was that?
Very positive show, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, oh, very, very positive. And the thing that I thought that it was most impressive to me about what had changed during this win streak was how they were coming out in the third quarters, not immediately losing every third quarter coming out of the gate. I think that that's been important. I think tonight's game's huge. So they how do they respond? What do they do? What do they do different? Are they going to let the habits form? Because they had the same thing happen against the Nuggets this last time. They had a bit of a meltdown.
I'd hate to be the Nuggets tonight, Jack.
The Celtics have been phenomenal responding. Like, that's one thing they've been awesome at this season.
Is Brown playing tonight, though? Is Brown already ruled out?
I think everybody's playing. I'm going to double check.
Because there's something like some sort of injury that Brown had that I've never even heard of before, and they're trying to figure out what the hell it was, like a groin or something, but they called it something.
Never heard of a groin?
No,
he's questionable. Oh my god, I've never seen that word either.
I don't know what the fuck it was either. I'm like, oh god.
Something like a strained groin. Never heard of it.
Sacroiliac.
I think it's
relating to the sacrum or the ilium, denoting the rigid joint on the back of the pelvis between the sacrum. That doesn't sound very pleasant. So he's questionable.
He sprained his pussy.
He's got a bruised sac. Just tuck that thing up there. You'll be fine, Jalen.
Mm-hmm. He's available. 18 minutes ago, available.
Oh, bingo. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Well, opening up the floor, Jack. I had two questions for you. And feel free to take it wherever you want in the next like minute and a half. But do you expect any movement from them on the buyout market?
Probably not. There are some guys like Patty Mills was a name before he joined the Heat that it was like maybe for the veteran thing. I know you guys in the email you sent said Otto Porter. That's one that we've been like me and Sam, who I host the podcast with, have been looking at and saying, yeah, that could be possible. It just doesn't really feel like there's like nobody they sign is going to play any real minutes. And so at this point, you might as well just bring up Namie Ishketa. To a standard contract, that or you find somebody who could be like at this point in the Celtics ethos, you're looking for guys who could potentially replace people who may be too expensive down the line. So taking a chance on players, right, or bringing somebody with a veteran mindset. So like maybe an Otto Porter, but I feel like they'll end up just not really doing anything.
Ray, you might be the most like busybody clicky clacky guy on the mic.
It's not me. It's fucking Bobby playing with his microphone.
Stop playing with your microphone.
I'm not doing anything at all. Nice try there, Raymond. We could see your hands.
Yeah, we get them up. Get them on screen, Ray. We don't know what you're doing with those.
First of all, using the word hand to describe those appendages is disrespectful.
You son of a bitch, Bobby. They're big.
They're basically just like breakfast sausage patties that you put. He's just slam up against each other.
Yeah, the weight hasn't left those things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the last place Peloton gets is, exactly. is the old paws. Paws.
They don't sweat that much, the paws. I got to get some gloves or something.
Looking ahead, Jack, I would have to – it'd be a real 2011 chicken and beer collapse if the Celtics don't walk into playoffs with the number one seed in the East. Who do you look at in the East and say, I don't want – to see them?
I think you still have to respect Giannis for being Giannis. Like, he's still one of the best players in the world, but their defense has been shaky, to say the least. The Knicks have good defenders to stand up to the Jays at the very least, like OG Anunoby, Josh Hart. Like, they've got a strong team with a good coach. And then, as much as no one wants to hear it, like, you just don't want to play the Heat. It's just, if nothing else, it's annoying. And so maybe that. But I do think the Celtics are pretty well equipped to, if they stay focused, which was obviously the problem against the Cavs, to handle those teams. And to their credit, the Celtics, this year's Celtics team, which is the biggest difference between years past, is like their mentality has been good in the sense of they're not going to, you know, they're going to learn from their past mistakes, but they're not going to dwell on it. They're not going to like complain. They're not going to take it upon themselves. Like, they play as a team. They're very together. And so I think that'll help them in the playoffs. And if anything, the growth they've shown internally this season in terms of learning from their mistakes, I think will carry over from the mistakes they made in the postseason last year.
You didn't say anything about the 76ers. Not scared of them?
No, they're the baby brother that you don't have to worry about. Like, just flick them off your shoulder. Yeah, gotcha. No, they're
gone. For some reason, my internet algorithms have put a bunch of Philly sports stuff like in my feeds or whatever, and they hate their 76ers team. It's like Tobias Harris sucks. Like, everybody sucks.
Trust the process,
bitch. Like, it's just, I love Philly because they're very closely related to our mentality, and they hate that team. I think that the Celtics should beat everybody. The only threat of them losing a series is the Bucks, but I don't want to play the Knicks. I don't even want to play Orlando, who are young,
physical team. Like Cleveland always they beat them every time.
Cleveland's
a good one. Really
tough. My thing with Cleveland is, as much as like, yeah, that last game sucked, I think the Celtics have so many bodies to attack in a Cleveland series. Like, you're telling me Donovan Mitchell is going to be a defender for a 7-game series? Him and Darius Garland, like, that backcourt just can't play defense. And with the Celtics, I don't know. That's my thing with Cleveland, as much as they did just beat them.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're a team that Mitchell and Garland can get hot for a couple games, but, you know, fire season. I just don't like them taking beating from the Knicks and in Orlando in rounds 1 and 2. And then
I can't see the Knicks being a opponent that you got to be scared about. I mean,
they just play tough.
I'm not afraid of them losing to the Knicks or to the Magic.
It's similar to the Pacers, I think. Shit out of them. Yeah, like the Pacers play so quick that I think it would tire the Celtics out. And I think that is the point with the Knicks and Orlando, except instead of speed, it's just physicality.
Yeah, I think the East is full of teams that are not to the Celtics caliber, but are on the up and are going to play hard every single minute, and it's just not going to be a cakewalk. No. I mean, maybe they win in 5 and 6 games, but they won't be 50 point wins in 5 or 6 games. I don't think. Well, there you go. It's good to see you again, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
We're full stretch of basketball season, so we'd love to have you back as we move forward, and we'll see if these front running pussies can bounce back in Denver tonight.
Anytime. Maybe invite me for one of the positive shows I heard about next time. Where was that invite?
That's when I'm not here.
Rich wasn't here. It was okay. Nice.
I got it. Yeah. Thanks for having me, though. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you, sir.
See you, Jack.
Yep.
We will take this break, throw it over to headlines with the obvious one.
It was pre-taped.
It's not pre-taped. I don't want to piss him off any more than I have to. So thank you there, Rich.
Did you pre-tape last week's?
Nope. After recording their third 50-point win this season on Sunday.
Did you not listen to last week's?
Hold on a second here. I can do something because I'm a producer. Mute and mute. Perfect. After recording their third 50-point win this season on Sunday against the Golden State Warriors, the Celtics then choke away a 20-point fourth-quarter lead against the Cleveland Cavs on Tuesday night. Celtics take on the defending champs Denver Nuggets as we record. The Bruins lost another overtime game, this time against the Edmonton Oilers 2-1. They are home tonight as we record, taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs and up 1-0. The Red Sox prize offseason pickup, Lucas Giolito, is out for the 2024 season after tearing his UCL, which is located right next to his pussy. But hey, Sox signed Brian Baio to a 6-year, $55 million extension. Patriots used their transition tag on Kyle Duggar, meaning he can explore a deal elsewhere and the Patriots can match it. And finally, on this day in 1996, Magic Johnson is the second NBA player to reach 10,000 career assists. He also has HIV. This has been Headlines with the Obvious One. Back to you, Richard.
Little positivity sandwich here. Terrible transition. We need something to take away from your face after you're done. But that was a really excellent written. You had me laughing many times.
Thank you.
I was also laughing at our own chat, but
I see 8 messages now. I didn't see that before. Sound fat. Hey, I said you sound fat. Your hands are gross. Look up. Fucking patty palms. You son of a bitch.
Very good jokes in that one, Ray. Thank you for the updates there.
Yeah.
All right, little Patriots offseason talk. So we had some news. Kyle Duggar gets the transition tag. Which is stupid.
It is very dumb.
Does it bother you that every other team cut their starting safety and we re-signed ours
for $13 million?
$13.8 million, which is a $4 million savings on the traditional franchise tag. Basically just gives the Patriots the right to match any deal that he might get in the in the market.
I wouldn't have done it. He might have a big market now that everyone got released, so teams might be coming for him.
Well, that would be the opposite. When the market is saturated with a bunch of players, generally contracts go down, but you're not an economics major, and that's not your fault.
How the fuck do you know I'm not an economics major?
How do I know you're not an economics major? I don't know. How do I know you're not an economics major?
How do you fucking know?
No, you know what?
Math's good.
He's got you there.
It's true. No, I did jump to a conclusion there. Kyle Duggar, take him or leave him. 109 tackles last year, one interception, one fumble. Has somewhat of a playmaker type of role slash defining characteristic to him. He can't cover for shit, which is something that you certainly need in this day and age. Gerard Mayo is obviously very understands the player very well, working with him for a number of years. They needed safeties. Jabril Peppers is basically the only guy they're bringing back, and he can't play free safety either. They need a free safety. They've got their two in the box safeties now between Peppers and Duggar. You're set at that position. So fine, I guess. They probably could have found something that he could do for less money, but he's familiar with the system. He's a good player. Fine. Is kind of how I put it. Fine.
Who would you replace him with, though?
I don't know. I don't know the safety market.
I'm just saying there's no one in the – no, I'm saying in-house. Who would you replace him with? Who is the next guy up to take Kyle Duggar's spot?
Miles Bryant.
Well, fuck you, you son of a bitch. Why? Why would you say that?
No, I don't know. And he's only
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. So I think
fourth year, I don't think they have a massive pipeline at safety. So
what they did was Duggar cut, and Duggar in 22 played like the playmaking strong safety role. Peppers played that last year because Duggar was like over the top. So hopefully if they keep him, Duggar goes to the playmaker role. Pepper gets knocked down a peg, and then maybe they sign an over the top free safety. I don't know.
They need a coverage safety. Yeah, neither Peppers or Duggar.
They don't cover.
No.
They're big linebackers. They're small linebackers.
Which is fine because they don't have any linebackers either. So,
yeah.
You know, that's where they played a lot of last year in the box and their nickel and you know, optional coverages. So that's fine. That's cool. You know, over $100 million in salary cap. They're going to have to make some moves. Going to spend some money. I'm fine with Duggar. And they say they're working on a deal. So generally when that happens, that number comes in a little bit less. So hopefully it's all good there. But what it does mean is Mike Nwenu is out the door. And he
doesn't have an agent, so it's going to be hard for him to negotiate. So maybe the Patriots kind of like, you know, stiff him on one.
Maybe he's an economics major.
He might be. But when going back to the market and the economics conversation, the tackle market is basically just Mike Nwenu, seeing as, according to Bobby, Tyron Smith is a real big fat piece of shit. So it's
using my words. This isn't what it. I didn't say anything about the player.
We'll get to it in a second. I just
want to build the Patriots.
Mike Nwenu for right.
Stop
this
it.
Second. Mike Nwenu is 26. He's the best tackle prospect player on the. He's a tackle. He's a tackle.
Guard.
He's going to get paid like a tackle. And he's going to play tackle. So
he's a tackle.
You don't want him back at tackle either, Bobby? Bobby wants you and me to play fucking tackle next year, right?
I'd be fine if they re-signed him. I wouldn't have a problem. Too skinny.
Rich, you're looking like you lost some poundage, too. So, I mean,
I just shaved.
Your pubes or your face?
Thank you, though.
Do you start from the bottom and go to the top or top to the bottom?
No, because I don't like smelling my sweaty fucking balls when I'm shaving my face. That doesn't make any sense.
So you go top bottom.
You go ass to balls when you wipe, and you go balls to.
And then Ryan Sullivan made fun of me in middle school because he watched me. He like looked over the stall and saw me do it, and made fun of me. So I stopped doing it. So I had to like rearrange my whole like wiping process.
Well, thank God for Ryan Sullivan.
You never thought you'd say that ever in your life again.
I didn't mean it.
I'm surprised out of the two Sullivans that Ryan is the one that would do something like that.
Peek at me as I'm taking a shit, or
well, the other Sullivan would just piss on him over the top.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Your
wouldn't have found a problem with that. He would have been like, "Nice wipe, bro."
Yeah,
I do that too.
Yeah.
Hey, you and me both. Which also would have led to you having to change your methods, knowing that you're in the same category. No further thought, Michael Wendell. You actually think he might be back, right? They're not paying that guy.
I think he's going to come back. You have to bolster this. No, you have to bolster this offensive line. You have nothing right now. You've David Andrews. You got Cole Strange, and what else? That's pretty much.
They just signed the guy Steelers who got cut.
Who plays an average of 6 games a year because he gets hurt all the time? Yeah, doesn't matter. I can't even pronounce his name, so if you want to attempt this, go ahead. I'm just saying.
At first, I thought you were trolling because it was somewhat of an Native Indian American name. Huh. That's what I thought. And then I looked into it. I was like, oh, I get it.
Well, I don't know what the origin of his name is, but Chukwuma Okorafor.
Bless you.
Chukwuma Okorafor was the right tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year until he lost his job in the week 7 to Broderick Jones, the first round draft pick, and never saw the field again. He kind of blows, so you know, there you go. I think you're speaking from a logical standpoint of what you'd like to happen, and I think not totally accepting the fact that Robert Kraft was in lockstep or with Bill Belichick or directing Bill Belichick to be cheap as shit. And that mentality and philosophy is not going anywhere. So yes, they have to bolster the offensive line. There are reports on them going for Tyron Smith, as much as you hate it, Bobby. They're not signing both of those guys. They are not signing both of them.
Oh no, I think it's going to be one or the other. And I think you bring a familiar name back, that's going to help the fan base be like, it's funny because I talked to a lot of people that have season tickets, and a lot of people are like questioning whether or not to get season tickets next year because A, the products on the field last year sucked. B, everyone lost their fucking shirts last year because what do? You're not going to go to all fucking 8 home games. You're going to sell those, right? So basically, you're losing money now because you're paying ass over fucking kettle for these Patriots tickets, and then you can't resell them because no one's on the field that no one wants to go to. I was supposed to go to that last game of the season. I ended up selling them, and I lost fucking $300 for it. So this team sucks. People aren't going to want to pay for this product. You got to bring a familiar name back. You're not going to want to bring a guy from Dallas. You're going to want to bring a guy that's homegrown into the system. Why?
I don't know if Mike Onwenu puts butts in the seats. I agree.
It's not
with
going
point.
To, but I'm just saying it's just like one of those things where they're like, all right, well, they're trying to bring back the old faces kind of thing.
Well, which is not my follow-up question, that there would be some other sort of splash to get players that would do that. Because like I agree with you, Ray. They could have a problem.
Who would be like a good splash that you would be like, oh shit, yeah, this is gonna turn the
anybody at wide, any top end wide receiver or Dalton yeah. Schultz or someone that plays a.
I think Schultz stayed
like Saquon Barkley.
Schultz staying in Texas, Houston.
He signed.
With yeah, the they should have franchised Hunter Henry, like I said, 3-4 weeks ago. Look, okay, let's see who. Don't shake your head. Bring back Mike Onwenu for $20 million, and let's see who they put at tight end. Look at that market. See who's out there.
I don't think it would be $20 million for Onwenu. Not like a year.
It'll be $17 million a year.
It would be, maybe that's what his annual value is, but if we're to like the, with the cap over the, like how it is like in the first year, how it gets put out, however, like the cap gets in, I think it's less, but I do think that they bring him back based off of your point, because one, Elliot Wolf, he said that they wanted to, take that for what it's worth, but they bring him back. So then that's plus one on their line. And then they go from there. I mean, they do have to do something, and they know him. If they think he can play in whatever system it is they're going to run, not that we know, they should try and resign him.
And also, they want to run the ball with Alex Van Pelt now, because that's his whole philosophy, how every great team has a great running game. That's how Super Bowl winners are made. So why not just build up the offensive line and bring back Onwenu?
Yeah, hey, why not?
Hey, why not?
They're not going to bring him back. So mark that down, 8:39, March 7th. Told you. 2-2. What I do believe is actually more realistic is Tyron Smith, and because the estimated contract for this guy is 1 year, $7.5 million. You don't want Tyron Smith, who was graded the number one offensive tackle in the league
last
year.
Those grades are bullshit.
13 games.
Don't act like you give a shit about PFF grades.
How else do you want to grade it? He played 13 games. He was the best at his position, and you can get him for $7.5 million for a year. Why? Like, what is wrong? By the way, here's the curtain. I promised a curtain pullback through our text chain listeners. And as soon as this guy's name was brought up,
Chief got very upset.
Chief got very upset. And the queen has put him on the bottom of the totem pole of dumb, just slightly above Ray at this point in time for his comments on the anti-Tyron Smith signing.
I don't know what it. What is an ANAT?
It's the acronym for the way Bill defined it.
Okay, thank you. That's what the actual bottom of totem pole of dumb is, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, no one's arguing.
Oh, no, a notch okay? above the
so
bottom.
So it's ridiculous.
Oh.
And then you two nimrods that can't even follow my logic. I don't have a problem with Tyron Smith. I have a problem with giving big money to old players that can't play anymore. If it's a one-year deal just to hold a spot to get you to the next, to whatever like a true option is, sure, that's fine. What I was more talking about the philosophy of, you know, we only have so much money, assets, this and that. If you can't, don't put too many assets into a player that isn't going to be there for the next good Patriots team, which Tyron Smith won't be. But if you're just going to give him $7 million for 1 year, yeah, okay, why not? He won't play the whole.
Hey, why not?
There's not going to be a good Patriots team for 3 or 4 years. And between now and then, you still need to put a productive.
Oh, I agree. You need players on the field, 100%. Well, but I still think you should put the money into players into where the talent is that is going to either be there when you're good, have an investment towards the future, or something that's tradable, or have potential. And he doesn't have any of those. He would just be a guy to fill a roster spot.
He'd be a guy to protect
you're going
to
just fill a roster spot. That's what you use rookies for. And at least there's upside. And yeah, are they going to be as good as possible? But that's just where the Patriots are.
The problem with that is the position itself, which is the third most important position potentially on the field. And the market for that position is basically zero. Your guy who plays right tackle for you, that's going to cost you $17 million, is the second best guy on the market. The number beyond that is quite literally nobody to play the position at left tackle. It's not just a position you can toss somebody in. We've learned that. Mm-hmm. So it has to be treated differently. It just has to be.
It should be a priority for this team.
You should pay what it takes to make that priority. This is the opposite of the argument that against Bill Belichick. It's the opposite of argument against a fucking Mac Jones of we can put anybody in at quarterback because quarterback's the same position as anybody else in the field if we coach it up. No, it's not. Neither is left tackle. And it's a premium position, so you have to pay premium dollars for it. And you want premium skill. There's basically one guy that you can fill in on you would fill that role with if you're the New England Patriots on the market, unless you want to come up with some trade. But there's, I don't know, 10 like good tackles in the league right now. It's a very the market's very small, which was the other side of the point we were arguing with you, Bobby.
Let me ask you a real quick question. I'm going to ask Bobby this because I already know what Rich's answer is going to be. But if you actually had a great line in front of Mac Jones last year, how many more wins would you have on this team?
Probably none.
I'd say one or two more. But still, have something so he has time, whoever this quarterback's going to be next year, if you can protect them, have them have options to look at these windows and get the players downfield and let them run their routes, that's going to help this team out tremendously. So everyone that's saying, oh no, number three, you got to take a quarterback. You got to take a wide receiver. It's not going to do shit for this team. You need to protect whatever quarterback's back there. If it's Mac Jones, Bailey Zappe, Justin Fields, Drake May, Baker Mayfield, whoever is quarterback back there, you need to protect them so they can go out there and make those reads and route and let those wide receivers run those routes. So I think bringing Owino back and getting Smith over there at left tackle would be the best thing for this team.
I agree with everything you say about those. I guess really more of what I'm coming at is, yes, I agree that you need these positions. It's a premium position. How do we get there? If you look at the free agent class, wide receiver and tackles blow. There's none there. They all either got tagged as the receivers or they just aren't any in the tackle class. In the draft, they're saying it's a great receiver and tackle class. So my point would be to not waste money in free agency bringing in tackles and receivers who aren't very good or considered bad, sign other positions and then key in on the draft on those positions where you can still get those key positions, which would then potentially be able to grow, develop, and be much better. And I'm not talking about fifth, sixth round picks. I'm talking about use your premium picks on those positions. That's kind of like my
I think they should do all
philosophy.
I think they should do all of it. And I think that the rumors that the Patriots are very hot on Tyron Smith is a good thing. And, you know, we'll see how that
it's
all
smart. Out. If they do it, it's smart, I think.
Yeah, I would.
You think, your point, you think your Ray, point, Ray,
I would
you,
dump
you're holding your agreement with Ray? You're hitching your wagon to Ray?
First of all, it's wow. my idea. He's hitching his wagon wow. to me. I've been saying build from the inside out.
You haven't said that yet.
I've been saying build the inside out.
Unbelievable. Wow. This is historically, this is not something you would do here, is hit your wagon with that.
Now he's going to flip flop. Now he's flip flopping. Fuck it all. Fuck the offensive line. Fuck it all. He
says something, you go, well, I'm out.
Look it. Did you hear Ray's opening take? He was
I don't
mocking,
listen when he does things. No, I don't remember what it was.
He's done this in many cases before on the show. He was mocking my position of the draft of building from the inside out, taking left tackle, but he wanted a quarterback for weeks and weeks and weeks and needed a guy and now who's hitching who to what wagon? It's okay. Come with me, Ray. It's fine. It's nice over here. It's pleasant.
That's my idea.
Shit ton of money on the offensive line, and I would draft premium positions at the offensive line and go from there. The other guys at the the Patriots are in on, here's a name, Saquon Barkley, projected at a $10 million hit.
Nope.
Three-year, $30 million contract.
Nope. We got fucking Ramadama Ding Dong Stevenson. Why would we need him?
He kind of blows.
I don't know what the philosophy of this team's going to be. Because Bill would just draft
these guys. Alex Van Pelt is going to run.
What Bill would do is run these guys like Damian Harris. Now you got Ramondre Stevenson. They just run these guys until their contract runs out, get the next guy in the draft, and then be like, all right, we already got our next replacement. See you later. Go to Buffalo where you have a career-ending injury and you're done forever. So,
in or out on Saquon Barkley, Bobby?
I think he's a good player, but he's not. He'd be a luxury for us. We have so many other things that are more important, like we're talking about.
If you can't sign a wide receiver and Saquon Barkley's out there for a 3-year deal, let's say it's Kendrick Bourne, Gabe Davis, and Pop Douglas is your wide receiver core, and Saquon Barkley's still available for $10 million. Do it.
I mean, anything else and you have to field the team, I guess, but I mean, yeah, my whole philosophy, but the whole thing would be, you know, just don't put yourself in that position. But to answer your question, yes.
Can he block?
Can he what?
Can he block?
Can he block?
Yeah, I do believe he's a pretty good pass blocking player.
Maybe. Okay, then I'll think about it.
Here's a couple more names before we get to the quarterback position. Matt Judon went on Good Morning Football and.
He's a meme of a. Why is he allowed to speak still?
He's a GM. He's the de facto GM for the Patriots right now.
I'd like to see him traded, frankly.
Absolutely. If we could get a third for him.
Yeah. Matt Judon went and wants outwardly pitched for Calvin Ridley, which fine. They need wide receivers, but also Josh Jacobs. That's how you know he's not good at his job. Josh Jacobs.
That's his boy, probably.
It's basically just another guy, another Ramondre Stevenson. Kind of bulky and slow and whatever. He's a running back. Some more news. Alex Austin, he was a undrafted rookie last year. He signed. Contract offer was sent to Kendrick Bourne. Pop in the mouth. Cool. Here's some juicier stuff. A rumor that the Patriots are interested in a trade for Legarius Sneed from the Chiefs, who got tagged at cornerback there, cornerback two. And then I'll just throw this out there and you guys can take it. To end this part of the segment, the leader in the clubhouse, according to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, for the next quarterback of the New England Patriots is Jacoby Brissett. They are very high on Jacoby Brissett. He's familiar with Alex Van Pelt and his system. He's familiar with New England. I guess they like that type of thing. The Baker Mayfield came out and basically said he doesn't want to go to New England because they're not ready to win and it'd be too expensive. And Russell Wilson, who just had a meeting with the Steelers, also as putting a priority on winning. So that pushes New England down the depth chart on the places he'd like to go. But he's also said basically he's going to play for the league minimum. So I ask you, of those three names I gave you, if you want to put some more out there, what do you think is realistic? What would you be okay with? Would you want Russell Wilson? Would you want Baker? Is Jacoby Brissett good enough assuming they draft a quarterback in the first round?
Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, Brissett is a very good backup. He's an excellent backup quarterback, so he would be a backup to the quarterback drafted at number three in this scenario, so I don't think there'd be any problem with that. I really like the Jake Browning idea from the Bengals. One that we've kicked around on this. He was a career backup, got a shot. He played with the Bengals. Chase wasn't even there the whole time. He won some games, got in the playoffs. I think there's still a little bit of upside there. I think him as a bridge guy, if they don't draft, I like that one a lot. I can't get behind like Flacco or Tannehill or Minshew. I'd have a tough time rooting for him.
Tannehill blows. Flacco's old and blows. Minshew is better than Brissett, isn't he? Like
they're the same player. It's a fan thing. I would have a tough time rooting for
him. He's not gonna in this scenario, he's not a backup. We know my plan. It's not draft a quarterback at three. It's push back and get somebody else mid first or wherever else you want to get him.
But you are drafting a quarterback.
Drafting a quarterback and I'm putting him on the bench.
No, I know, but you want to draft a quarterback second, absolutely. Third round. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
No. First round quarterback.
So you want to get back into the first round then?
Yep.
Okay. I think Jacoby Brissett would be the perfect guy to do that because I don't think he would have a ego. I think he would
give a shit. I hate this.
Well, I'm just saying he would be the perfect guy.
He blows. He fucking blows.
But you're
going to suck.
You're going to suck either way. Even if you put a rookie.
Not if they trade for Justin Fields or somehow get Russell Wilson to come over here.
I didn't know that. I don't want Russell Wilson. But Justin Fields.
Russell Wilson had the same goddamn stats as Patrick Mahomes three quarters of the way through the goddamn season. Everyone thinks Russell Wilson is cashed. He's not what he used to be, but he's not cashed. He's still a top echelon quarterback.
Sierra ruined him with sex. He has been ruined.
I do not want a Jacoby Brissett placeholder. So whenever Drake May throws a real nice ball at practice, they go, okay, Jacoby, get your pom-poms. Time to come on the bench and cheer for Jake. No, I want a guy that's going to go in there and compete and win. And if he's winning, then the rookie can sit for as long as it takes until he's better. Like, why? I don't understand the let's just admit to sucking for the next 3 years. Let's get a quarterback that falls right in line with our sucky little plan so he can suck.
Is this not a rebuild? Is this not a
rebuild? I mean, I don't think you have to admit to suck for 3 years, but I think you might have to. I think you have to make a decision on whether you want to sell out to be as competitive as possible to be next year or to, you know, reset the roster. Because I just do think the roster needs some resetting. I'm with you. I don't want them to suck.
There's none of these quarterbacks.
I don't want a three-year rebuild, but I'm okay if they aren't going into next year with the expectation of that we're going to be the most competitive. I think that after one year for them to just turn it over, then they could do that. Because I get that. It doesn't take 3 years.
I think they should go into the year trying to be as competitive as possible. That should just be the outcome. It's football. Anything can happen. The only two guys on that are available right now from a quarterback position, which would accelerate your clock beyond the point of next year of kind of blowing anyway, is Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins. And those guys are not coming here. They're going to price themselves out of New England, and they don't want to come here, and they don't have a reason to come here because they are probably going to be less than competitive. But a guy like Russell Wilson or a trade for Justin Fields puts you in a better position than Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew or Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, 100%. If that's your goal, for that right now, it seems like nobody wants to trade for Fields. No one's made a legitimate offer. If you could somehow trade your third round pick for Justin Fields, that's offering the least to get the best quarterback back.
I think
so that would be the best deal.
I don't think the Bears know what the fuck they're going to do at one still. I think they're still weighing out all their options.
I'm under the impression that they've tried to trade Justin Fields, haven't got what they want, and now they're looking at offers for number one.
That's a dumb fucking way to do it.
It's very dumb, but that's...
Pick a goddamn direction, Bears. They should trade number one. They will get an absolute haul, and they still have nine, and Justin Fields is a decent enough quarterback to build around and...
What'd they get for Bryce Hall when Carolina traded for him?
DJ Moore and this year's
DJ first. Moore and like two ones and two twos, I believe.
So yeah.
They'll get
imagine what you can get for this quote unquote generational talent with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I back to the Patriots. I think that they should try and field the most competitive team possible, and their window of that. Of their decision making and contracts is a 3 to 4 year window, but that's naturally where most contracts fall anyway in the NFL. So, and that is with the game plan in the draft of moving back. And the last report I heard today was the Patriots are looking to stockpile draft picks. And that third position, overall pick, they are in a power position. There's three quarterbacks. A lot of teams want at least one of them.
You read it now, there's four.
And we'll get to that. I'd like to see Ray pipe from his ears. Let me just finish this thought on the Patriots. So I'm drafting all those positions, quarterback, left tackle, wide receiver, and I'm also paying for them. And I'm paying for that 3 or 4 year window. I'm drafting guys, and I'm feeling the most competitive possible team I can next year. And I'm not taking the mentality of we're going to suck, so let's just bring Jacoby Brissett in here so he can suck with us. It's like, no, go find the best guy. Go find the best guy and bring him in. And if you win 10 games with Russell Wilson, then your rookie quarterback sits. So what? You're in the playoffs. That's the whole goddamn point. The point's not to breed the next great quarterback. Most of these guys fucking blow.
If you can have two good quarterbacks,
that this guy's going to suck, then he's going to become excellent. So go find somebody that can win. That's all that you care about.
If you can have two good quarterbacks, that's more bargaining tools like in the off seasons for you and like next year for 2025. I mean, if you draft someone that everyone wants and you have Russell Wilson who comes in and is blowing the doors off and over expectation and winning 10 games and going to the playoffs, then that's what this team needs.
Yeah.
We're going to turn the tables. We went from no quarterbacks to two quarterbacks, baby. We're going to run them both out there. They can't stop us.
Speaking of that, what if one of these quarterbacks is the ever-rising potential number one overall pick, depending on who you talk to, national champion, Bobby's wannabe best friend, Mr. J.J. McCarthy, Raymond, climbing the charts, heavy, heavy in the Patriots rumor mill. They like tough quarterbacks. This guy's really, really put a number on people at the combine. You want me to read that? I'm not going to read this. Your thoughts on J.J. McCarthy.
Right. I'll fucking burn down Foxborough if they fucking draft this kid. I will go down there. I will find Kraft. I will bring him to the top of the lighthouse, and I will make him watch the whole Gillette Stadium burn to the ground if you draft J.J. McCarthy, because this kid is just a flash in the pan. He had the best defense, like Bobby said last week. He also had a great running game, something that we don't have here in New England. If you bring him here, he can't throw outside. He can't throw to the numbers. So fuck this kid. Don't draft J.J. McCarthy. He's just a fucking facade that just doesn't need to be here in New England.
Bobby, Michigan man.
I mean, I don't want him to draft him at three. I think that would be overdrafting him. I mean, he isn't anywhere as bad as what Ray says. I think he's a good player. I think he'll be successful. I feel like he should have gone back to school for another year. I think that would have benefited him. But yeah, at three, it's way, way too rich.
What about at 20?
At 20, I think that's where he belongs. I think he is the ideal candidate to get drafted to a team and sit a year.
Ray, would you take him at 20?
Yep.
I don't want anything to do with him. I think he sucks. I think
he doesn't suck, but no, he's not ready to go.
He's Mac Jones without the touch.
Who else is available at 20?
He's
though?
Not Mac Jones. He is significantly more athletic than Mac Jones. That's not a good comparison.
Is everyone gone at
Mac
before?
Mac Jones before his draft was projected as an early second round pick. And because he's a quarterback and people go fucking crazy over quarterbacks, he was picked 15th overall. That's J.J. McCarthy. He is
same
the second
trajectory
round
as then he's risen up the boards, but like physically, they're not anywhere near the same. He's a significantly better athlete, but that same trajectory, I'm not denying that.
Well, what if he went to Alabama? Would you still be saying that about J.J. McCarthy?
Good question.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, if you went to Alabama, you'd have the same accolades. There's no real difference.
Yeah, but how would your affection feel?
No, but your erection wouldn't be the same.
I think I'm being very reasonable. I said I don't want him to draft him.
Your affection reaction, your affection reaction would be, not as high.
Nah, I'm all set. Yeah, but nah.
But you're taking him, so let's go second tier. You're taking JJ, yes or no, over Penix?
If I knew Penix was healthy, I think Penix can play. I think if the Patriots got like in these scenarios with like a second round and drafted Penix there, I think the only thing you worry about Penix is his shoulder or his knee is going to explode. Other than that, I don't think anybody can agree that he can throw the ball.
Isn't he scrawny? Isn't he really tiny?
Yeah, not at all. No, Penix can play.
Last thought on this. If the Patriots do take a quarterback at number three, between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, who would you pick? And are you going to be, if they do end up taking that pick and they do take the quarterback, are you going to be okay with it? Are you on the fence at all on taking one of those guys?
I'm nervous about both for different reasons. If the Patriots pick a quarterback, I'll be disappointed because it isn't what I would do, but I'll be excited at the same time because there's the potential. I mean, all this being said, if either one of them can play, all our problems are solved. Okay. If one of them hits. So there is that excitement that'll come with it to see if they're any good. If it was up to me, I'd probably draft Drake May because he's just a bigger, stronger athlete. And I think that that would translate more. Jaden Daniels is skinny and it looks like he's going to get rocked. So I mean, that's probably where I would go. I think he's just the safer pick. I think Jaden Daniels is a little more boom or bust. He could hit big or he could, his arm could literally snap.
Raymond.
I like Jaden Daniels just because the Alex Van Pelt came from the.
I got to tell Deshaun, you why. Remember, I'm out on Jaden Daniels. I told you that.
You did tell me that. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, basically he had Deshaun Watson there for 2 years and had his whole philosophy, like the scrambling quarterback who can run off the, you know, throw off the run kind of thing. So Jaden Daniels might be the prototypical best option here for the Patriots with the
You need to hear my Jaden Daniels theory. You heard how Bill Belichick's board had Jaden Daniels number one, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, do you know why that is the case?
Probably knew because his grandfather.
Where did he get his sources from? He gets sources from Herm Edwards, who was at Arizona State. Who recruited who? Jaden Daniels.
Daniels.
Therefore, I am out on Jaden Daniels.
That's sound logic. I'm out on Jaden Daniels, too. I was out on him before. I'm also out on Drake May. If they take a quarterback at number three, I will also burn down Foxborough with you, Raven.
Oh, perfect.
It's a strong chance that Foxborough, the Patriots, are going to have to play somewhere.
Watch your back, Kraft.
We need some gas money to put on the field. So
your old boy Johnny Kraft there better watch his goddamn back.
If you draft Kraft, is free, a good it might be Kraft. Over. I'll take it.
There's nothing nothing's gonna happen from now until the draft to convince me they should take a quarterback at three.
Yep. No, I agree. I don't believe that they should do it, but
Spencer Rattler, which I've been saying all along, is probably one of the best. Yep. Second round, third round options.
Dude is doing here, Bobby. You have been saying Spencer Rattler all along, haven't you? That's been your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Hitching your wagon to Raymond.
Man, Rich, get your own fucking takes, dude.
I can't tell if Bobby's doing the just below the bottom, just above the bottom of the totem pole thing again, or if he's trolling me. I can't tell.
Well, we'll never know.
Could be both.
We got a couple things more from the combine, but I want to get. We'll save that maybe if you have time. Simplest Minds, because there's some interesting. Don't forget to remind me to talk about that. But let's do some Red Sox talk real quick after this. Bobby, take a break, and we'll take a quick break. Very quick transition.
Hey, what did you do with that penny or the 1/10 of a penny that you got from me buying all these Buffalo 40 songs?
Shut it up to your mother's ass. Red Sox have some news in the week this past week. They're they're number one. See, when we limit them other jokes, they hit harder, you know.
That was a good one. That was perfect.
Yeah. No. Speaking of hit harder. Lucas Giolito pulls his UCL, whatever that is. So he's done for the year. The Red Sox primary number one signing. He's gone.
He gone.
Comical. Absolutely comical what's going on with the fucking Red Sox. Everything that bad happens to him, I laugh. A little bit of positive news that came out today. Brian Bayo, the young up-and-coming, what are they calling a potential ace for the Red Sox, signs a 6-year, $55 million extension. Now, when the Queen...
That was funny. You mean 155, right? Oh, no.
Brian Bayo extension, 6 years, $55 million. $155 million, right? No.
Mm-mm.
$55 million. The Red Sox, Bobby, have traditionally... done this. They have gone to their younger players. Baseball is a stupid sport. They treat their younger players like shit. They got to go through pre-arbitration, then arbitration. They basically don't hit free agency to get real money until they're 30, 29, 30, depending when they get to the league. And they kind of get paid pennies in relation to everybody else. It's a real bad free market system going on in baseball in their contract situation. When Max Scherzer's 46, hasn't played in a year and a half, and makes $100 million a year or whatever. Anyway, so that's what you have going on. Brian Bello. So the Red Sox traditionally have gone to their young players and offered them deals like this. Absolute garbage deals. When they're very, very young and susceptible to these kind of things, they did it with Mookie Betts year after year after year. They were $100 million behind what the contract should have been for 3 or 4 years running. Xander Bogaerts was a similar deal. He was a little bit more accommodating, signed one of them for a below market deal, about $8 million a year below market deal. And everyone was, you know, kudos to Xander. You know, thanks for taking the hometown discount. That was a little bit before we really caught on to how badly the Red Sox just cheap out against these guys. They were doing it to Rafael Devers until Betts leaves, Bogaerts leaves. They have the Winter Classic at Fenway, and the entire city booed the pants off John Henry. So he wrote that guy a check for $300 million, but they were going through the same process of these extension talks and lowballing and lowballing and lowballing. So now you have this next round of young players. Tristan Casas is in negotiations for an extension. They're lowballing the shit out of him. He declined an offer this spring. And now Brian Bello, basically their only other good young player, gets a lowball offer, 6 years, $55 million, and he takes it. Well, I don't know his personal situation. Maybe he's got, maybe the money's going to make him a world
a lot of debt.
But good God, under $10 million for a projected top end starter for the Red Sox.
He will be the starter day one. He'll be starter day one.
He is their opening day starter day one. Mm-hmm. He's making whatever he's making this year. He's going to make less than $10 million a year for the next six fucking years. Lucas Giolito, that fat bitch, got $20 million a year, and he's this is funny. I forget the exact number. I'll make it up. But now that he's hurt this year, he signed a 2-year deal. Next year was a player option that everybody assumed he was going to back out of and go back into the market. Not anymore. He's signing that shit day one for $19.8 million. So on average, let's say on a good year, he pitches 20 starts. He's going to make whatever that number is. $1.38 million per start next year for Lucas Giolito with his 5.36 ERA.
Good for him. Good for him. Hey, good whatever.
Good for him. So I look at it both ways. Red Sox continue to just be cheap. Not a single decision being made about the baseball team. It is 100% about the books. And from the other side, Brian Bello, what are you doing, man? Just bet on yourself for a year. Get into arbitration and you'll make more than
that. Who's his manager? Who's representing this guy saying, yeah, sign this is a great deal?
I don't think it's a good deal.
It behooves the agent to have him sign it. So that's what he probably told him it was a great deal.
Yeah.
He gets whatever, 3 to 10%, whatever these agents get, sure, I guess. So you're getting $900,000 a year. If you go to arbitration, if he has a good year this year, gets the arbitration next year, like he's looking at 16, 14 on a 1-year arbitration deal. And now you're in bad faith negotiations once you get to arbitration with the team. So you're going to push to an extension or get yourself into the market. And now you're talking $20 million a year. If you're Lucas Giolito is not a good pitcher. You got $20 million a year. It's stupid money in baseball. It was a dumb decision. But you got a good young pitcher. We'll see if he pans out cost control for the next 6-7 years. In 7 years, the team has a $21 million player option. In 7 years, starting pitchers are going to be making $45 million a year, and this kid's going to have to say yes to 21.
Quick question, though. In 7 years, do you think Bill will still be alive?
No. Okay. Speaking of not being alive, Alex Cora may or may not have put his house up for the market in Boston. He is not long for this world, which leaves the door open for just one little fella to come into Boston and save the day. If for nothing else,
don't say it. I'm going to fucking mute you. I'm going to mute you.
Your death will be the one we'll be celebrating. Mr. Dustin Laser Show, Pee Wee Pedroia, come on down. 15 in your program, sucking up that Red Sox money his last 4 years in the contract, just eating away his soul. Give me Dustin Pedroia in the clubhouse just for one season. Just for one season. And I will buy you the MLB package, Ray, and I will make you watch every fucking game. So he sits there in his smug look and his little 5'6" average height frame. And his puts his MVP trophy and his World Series right on his fucking dick for you to lick off just as a tasty, tasty little fucking delight as they go 46 and fucking nothing for a goddamn another failure of a season. Dustin Pedroia, your next manager of the Boston Red Sox, out of nothing but spite for one Raymond Big Dr. Big Mac Langevin. Your thoughts?
I will fucking burn down Fenway. And then I'll murder Dustin Pedroia.
Be a lot of fire.
I fucking hate Dustin Pedroia, that fucking little turd. He's not average height. He's a fucking midget. That little peewee, little piece of shit. He is
quite small.
Bobby and any of the listeners that are not up to date on your outrageous hatred for one of the best Red Sox, one of the best players in Red Sox history, why don't you enlighten us?
He's just a little bitch. The whole Manny Machado thing when he fucking they threw at Manny Machado and he was putting up his hands. And he, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. I didn't tell him to do that. I lost all respect for Dustin Pedroia there. He's not a team player. He's just a little bitch. I just fucking can't stand his little face and his little. And then when they called him Dusty Two Sacks, which is probably the greatest nickname you could have had for a second baseman, and he says, "Don't call me that. I don't like that nickname." It's like, I don't like being called fat, but I take it. You just go with it because I'm fat. So you just say, yeah, you're Dusty Two Sacks. Just take the fucking nickname and roll with it.
Losing weight. Are you still currently fat?
I don't know. I have to go see my doctor.
You're in between right now?
I'm actually in the 190s right now, which I haven't seen since my wedding, which was...
I was at your wedding. You were fat.
5 years ago. I was fat, but I was like...
you're hefty.
Yeah.
He was more bloated. He was just bloated.
Yeah. Definitely bloated. I thought your hatred also had to do because he was injured in the last year of his contract.
Oh, yeah. He stole money from Fenway. Yeah.
Right.
The movie The Town was basically about Dustin Pedroia going into
Fenway. First of all, that movie with Manny Machado is directly out of the Raymond Langevin playbook. I went to high school with you. I saw you on the soccer field. You were a piece of shit.
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean.
No. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's fine. You can hate him all you want. He's going to be the next manager of the Red Sox. You haven't watched a baseball game in probably 10 years, so what does it matter to you?
I was there last year. I fucking got blacked out drunk with my wife at the New York Mets game. It was awesome. And I drove home.
We'll beep that.
Catch me if you can, bitches.
Okay. Bobby, any final thoughts on baseball?
Yeah, Dustin Pedroia. Hopefully he's the next coach.
Oh, God.
They're called managers in baseball, but we'll get there, Bobby. We'll be right back with This or That with Chief Gay Bobby. Hey, Ray.
Please don't.
This is not a slight in you. This could happen after the show, but been drinking. Segment changes, 15 seconds. You want to jot it down?
Yep. Hold on a second. What'd you say again? What'd you say? I didn't hear you. 15?
Diabetes does cause short-term memory loss.
I wrote down, Rich is a cunt, 15 seconds.
Close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cunts, Bobby, why don't you give us your this or that,
which certainly.
I don't have in front of me. So this is a very blind this or that for me.
Hold on a second.
Well,
except for
you know one of them.
I do know one of them.
Yeah.
Campbell's chicken noodle soup or Campbell's tomato soup?
Chicken noodle. Who drinks tomato soups for old ladies?
Tomato soup with a nice grilled cheese. That was what I was sick. Staple.
Tomato soup is the answer. The chicken noodle soup is unedible.
Yeah.
Tomato soup in general blows. It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
You drink V8 too? You fucking queers.
hold on, timestamp. Hour 14 in.
That plays. Within the vernacular of the society these days, it's a positive.
Would you rather have frostbite or burns?
Frostbite.
Now, are you amputating my frostbite?
There's always a chance, especially if you're a knuckleheaded Chiefs fan.
I'll go with burns.
Yeah, I think I'll go burn. There's no amputation with the burn.
You are simpatico on the bottom of the totem pole of dumb. Burns? Are you fucking kidding me? Burn? You want to be a burn victim? No. Just give me some goddamn frostbite.
And then it's going to get amputated later, and you're going to walk around with one arm like an asshole.
That's fine. I'm going to peel your skin off like...
Well, I'm still going to have
one hand. I have two hands. You don't, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
You have sausage patties for hands, Ray. We have established that.
Would you rather live in medieval times or in the 1700s?
1700s.
Medieval, because I'll probably be dead by now.
Yeah, I think, right. Most people don't live
400 years. Medieval.
It seems simpler. I want simpler times.
Okay, you guys did this on purpose. You're going straight bottom of the totem pole together.
No, medieval. Smart answers.
Raise a terrible liar isn't just too. I get it. It's fine. You sound dumb, Bobby. Talking about hitching your wagon. Hitch your wagon to this.
You sound dumb. You sound dumb.
Medieval times. You fucking kidding me? Ever heard of the Black Plague?
1700s? What's so
fucking? Yeah, I'd be dead by now. I don't give a fuck. Ring around the roses.
1700s. They had plumbing. They had fine cuisine.
They didn't. No. What are you living
in? They did not have any sort of plumbing that mattered. That you would shit in a bucket, okay? And the plumbing was your slave that go throw the bucket out. If that's what you're referring to, you racist asshole. Next question: cold showers every day or only warm drinks?
Cold showers every day.
Yeah, I don't think drinking only warm drinks sounds terrible. Cold shower.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison?
Ooh,
it's tough. Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
I think I go Happy Gilmore, but Billy Madison
they're 1A, 1B.
Yeah. All right. Lick peanut butter off someone's foot or have someone lick peanut butter off your face?
Off my face. I fucking hate feet. Feet are disgusting.
Yeah. If I'm not licking someone's foot, if the alternative is someone else licking me.
Yeah. But what if that person licking your face is pretty gross? What if the alternative is to lick someone else's foot is better than that individual licking your face?
I see. Give me a real life example.
Raymond would be the one licking your face.
That's fine. I mean,
that's a bad example. You remember Sloth in middle school, the janitor, Sloth?
Feet.
Okay. See, Bobby, fucking be smart about this shit.
Apologies.
Right.
Driving range or batting cage?
Driving range.
Oh, batting cage. Golf is
I
dumb.
I have not been to a batting cage in a really long time.
I was there 4 years ago.
I mean, the last time I was to a batting cage, I was in high school.
Yeah. It was after that, but it's been a very long time. I would probably go batting cage. Do you know the story of Ray's batting cage?
Did he Ray get attacked by a ball?
Very early on in the show, Ray... proved his worth for the bottom of the totem pole of dumb, maybe where it got his nickname, and thought that hitting a baseball was easy, in fact, easier than soccer. So he made a bet that he had to go into the batting cages and hit a baseball. And I don't remember what we were going to give you. I don't remember what it was.
The bet was if I could hit the baseball. I don't remember what happened, but basically I didn't hit the baseball, so I had to go to the Patriots game with a Tom Brady Tampa Bay Bucks jersey on.
You also had to take one 80 mile an hour right to the back.
And I did.
But all that's good. And it was a little bit humiliating for you and you got injured and that was funny and that was good to watch, but really the humiliation of watching you try to swing a bat.
It was beautiful.
That's what did it for me.
They call it poetry. They call it poetry.
Yeah. Yep. Still the hardest thing to do in sports, even though baseball's dead to me.
Rather live in the 50s or the 70s?
70s, because they were experimenting with drugs in the 70s.
Give me the 50s, baby.
Yeah, I think what you're underestimating here, Ray, is the power of the white man in the 50s.
Bingo. you just walk in, you go to your wife, be like, Ingrid, I'm going to go out whoring for 2 days. And when I come back, I don't want to hear a word about it. Goodbye.
I'd like to hear a thank you on my way out, too.
Where's my lunch, Ingrid? Lunch?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, depending on the age, now that the 50s at our age now are probably better, but like 20s?
Yeah, current age.
If we were in our 20s, the 70s is probably more of an ideal situation.
True.
Very nice. Well, we already hashed this one out, prime rib or filet mignon.
Yeah, it's filet.
Yeah, well, the filet.
The filet is the way
of these examples. It's the filet, but a ribeye, even a T-bone, filet mignon is a forever disappointment. It's never good enough, and prime rib is just kind of crap.
Are you a pork chops kind of guy? It's
I love pork chops.
Bone in.
I think
pork
steak
chops.
Is mildly overrated in general.
Steak is mildly overrated in general.
Ooh.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, a good steak's good, but I mean, you hear like, you know, steak, steak. It's like, yeah, but a bad steak is bad. It's like, it's just not always good.
Right. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wet feet all day or dry mouth all day?
Ooh.
Dry mouth all day. I can't stand my feet being wet.
You got a real feet.
It's like a little soppy, like you stepped in a puddle. Just a
no, like I can't have wet, cold feet. It just it bothers me and like it, like puts my whole like thought process down there. I can't do it.
Are you pregnant?
Yep. Well,
no, he's losing weight. He's losing weight.
That's right. Oh, there it is. There's that.
I'll go with the wet feet. I can't have a
that
dry
Leslie
mouth.
Chow dick of a nipple. Bobby, are you familiar with The Hangover and The Hangover 2?
I am.
Do you remember the scene when Leslie Chow? They're unaware that's Leslie Chow, but they think it's a monkey or something. They go
or a mushroom. They think it's a mushroom.
They grab his little penis. I'll send you the pic over text message. But Ray, just if you would, doesn't Ray's nipple look like Leslie Chow's dick in that movie?
It's a purse.
It's a purse. But did you die? Anyway, what was the question?
Wet feet all day or dry mouth all day?
I'll go wet feet. Dry mouth sucks.
Yeah, ooh. Dry mouth. Like you're some sort of cave breathing mouth breather.
I have dry mouth right now.
You can put wet feet out of your mind for you know portions of time of the day.
Not you desk jockeys. Not I have to be on my feet all day. So
desk jockey.
I bet your mother's feet are wet all day from all that drip drip. Next.
It was, yeah, that has to be the answer because I can't have her have a dry mouth.
No. Yeah, that would spoil all the fun.
Exactly. All right. Always, while driving, have to always be 10 below the speed limit or always 20 above?
Always 20 above.
Below.
That could get a little dicey. Imagine you always have to go 50 and a 30. Maybe those corners could get tricky.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Vine. Don't tempt me.
I drive slow, below. Easy one.
Yeah, because you have beer usually in the vehicle.
I have what?
Beer? A nice road soda?
How dare you? Next.
Middle America or Florida? What's dumber?
No. Oh, what's dumber?
Ooh.
Yep.
Still Florida, but it the amount.
I don't know. I think Middle
America. You got a lot of Middle America. That's a lot. Yeah.
No, it's Florida. It's Florida. I'm because you have to count the crazy as dumb.
I think Florida just gets all the pub. I think some of the dumbness that goes on in the middle is vastly underreported.
We'll find out in Simplest Minds of the Week, but I mean,
it's like the deep Congo of Africa. There needs to be like expeditions in there to truly see what's going on.
Yeah,
Middle America.
Well, I've been forced into the part of the country on many occasions, and it's not what I would call the epicenter of enlightenment, but Florida is on a different level. Florida is an entirely different planet.
See, I haven't been to like the western side of Florida. I've been to like Orlando and Miami. I've never been to like the western side.
Okay, right.
Part of Florida that isn't one of the tourist destinations.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've never been to the not tourist side of it, so I haven't really experienced the dumbness that is.
Yeah, you're really underestimating the panhandle of Florida too.
Yeah,
that's some stupid shit going on right there,
hmm.
And just all of Tampa. If any place that. That breeds a Bassett.
Oh, no. Is that where that fucker's from?
Speaking of farting things. I was never going to hear this, so there you go.
No, we'll send it to him.
Okay. Is that it? You got more?
That is it. Nope.
Okay.
Last one.
We'll be right back with Simplest Minds of the Week.
Oh, back to school. Back to school. To prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
But I will say, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, I do have family members with Down syndrome. It almost got me. I dodged it, but it nicked me. Bit of a daywalker myself.
Are you stupid or something?
I'm as stupid does.
Thank you, Ruin. Dialing back to the combine because there's a couple of juicy stories out of this, and we're very late this show. Yeah. I blame it on Jack.
He's not here to defend us, though, so yeah.
Nope. Texas Tech's Tyler Owens. This was at the Combine, NFL Combine.
Oh, this kid, yeah.
Wide receiver, Texas Tech, Tyler Owens. I think he's a wide receiver. Texas Tech, Tyler Owens does not believe in space. His quote, I don't think there's, like, other planets.
He's also a flat earther.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I didn't actually dig into the story. But if no one asked him follow-ups for that, this is why we need credentials. That. I don't think there's like planets. Oh, interesting. What do you think there is?
What do you think is going on? Yeah.
Yeah. Please enlighten us. What do you got? What do you think is going on out there?
I don't know. He's a defensive back, Tyler Owens, recently told reporters he doesn't believe in space or other planets, why it matters. Owens attended Plano East High School. Oh, okay, that's all it says. But yeah, so planets or space.
Yeah, well, lucky he's on defense. You can be dumb and play defense. Yeah. Go,
he has the ball. Go get him.
Yeah, this guy's on offense, so this might be troublesome. I want to look at this. Don't draft this guy. Illinois tight end, Tip. His name's Tip, so red flags all over the place. Mm-hmm. Illinois tight end Tip Reiman, a firm member of the, quote, birds aren't real movement. Now,
no, he isn't.
It's been a little bit since we've done the Spirit Walk of Truth with Chief Bobby, but this is a good one. This would be right up our alley. Have you ever done a deep dive into this?
The birds aren't real? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We should do this one next week. Birds are not real movement. His quote, Tip Reiman, Illinois, quote, have you ever seen a baby pigeon? End quote.
So when I read this email from you, I'm like, I haven't.
But doesn't he know that the guy that invented it came out and said it was all bullshit?
I don't know. Another quote. How do we know that power lines aren't pigeons' recharging stations?
Fuck. This kid's actually.
Let me say that again. How do we know that power lines aren't pigeon recharging stations?
How do you know, Rich, that they're not?
True. Do you know what pigeons are doing? And this is real. And they've essentially become domesticated birds because they're mostly city dwelling birds now. And they've lost the ability to build nests. So there's pictures throughout like New York and cityscapes where they just find a kind of a patch of dirt on, you know, on a street and like a couple sticks and they just throw their eggs down and kind of like a crackhead mom, like stand like to the side of it. It's like, I don't want anything to do with that. Google it. Pigeon nests in New York City. They're just like on the sidewalk. So that's true. Baby pigeons, maybe not, but birds are definitely real, Tip. Birds are real. Or maybe they're not. Who knows? Tune in next week for our Spirit Walk of Truth. We'll get to the bottom of this. Here's our real candidates here. And this is right on brand with previous segments. Here's the headline. Oklahoma high school fundraiser. Students licking toes, etc. happened at another school? Question mark. I'm going to read this live. The Oklahoma high school under fire for a fundraiser that had students licking their peers' toes apparently wasn't alone. This buries the lead. Was there a previous story about this high school toe licking?
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago.
Okay. So I guess there's a fundraiser that
in Oklahoma that they do that the Oklahoma students lick. I think it was the teacher's toes.
Well, there's gross. Kids. There's kids, like actual kids on the ground.
Yeah.
Like young kids,
not middle America, as I stated.
Well, I think that prompted that question now, didn't it?
Yes,
it did. These videos suggest Deer Creek High, the original school that was revealed to have done this, wasn't the only educational institution in town that was partaking in this bizarre activity. Okay, I'm starting to put some dots together. The toe thing, the foot thing, the fetish thing, it's like women make real money just putting their feet on OnlyFans and like have weird, gross guys go and look at it. So some fucking freak weirdo in the school department had to. There you go, Ray. Look at you.
Oh my God.
That's unbelievable. That is disgusting.
That one guy is just getting mad.
That guy's going like that second toe. The lady's like licking that lady's licking the corn off that guy's fucking toe.
Or is that just the picture? Oh. This has to be some fucking weird fetish guy in the school district. Like, you know what? I know what will make some money. We'll let these freaks come to the school and lick our toes.
No, fuck that. They like that shit. So that's why they're like, yeah, let's bring the kids involved and teachers and
that's what I mean. Funner.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of freaks. Like, we'll get you a library, kids. Tell your Fulton. Parents we can come lick their toes.
Fulton. Fulton's like, hey, Ollie Bear, I got a fucking job.
Fulton
for you.
Went to the school board every year with that.
Also, Rich, yeah. Just for
he wasn't asking for toes though.
Clarification for you. Here's your nest that you were speaking of.
There you go. Yeah, yep. That's it. That's a pigeon nest in New York City. Just a couple of twigs on a fake piece of turf. A
lazy fucking pigeon.
What lazy motherfucking birds we got here.
To Tip's point, you only saw the egg. You didn't see the baby pigeon.
Yeah, there's
not
a baby.
Chance in hell that egg is fucking big. It's going to hatch.
Mm-mm, not in those twigs.
Not in those twigs. Ah, shit. Hold on. I lost the email. All right. Last candidate here. A 22-year-old girls basketball coach posed as a 13-year-old in the game and dominated. Just
Juwanna Man just fucking dominated that shit.
Did you guys click that link? The highlights are pretty good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just absolutely abolishing. Like, there's got to be a mental health situation with that woman, right? Like, what in God's green earth would make you think that'd be okay?
I mean, it was probably just super fun. So,
what was her stat line, you think?
28, 13, and zero assists.
I was thinking like six, because the final score is probably like 12 to 11 or something like that.
Oh, right, because they're women and they don't.
It's kind of like when Ichiro pitched against all those women in Japan.
Oh, we didn't talk about that story on the show, did we?
No.
Nope.
That was a great story. Ichiro at 51 years old, for anyone listening, 51 years old, went up against, I forget the women's team. It was a women's baseball team in Japan, maybe the national women's baseball team in Japan. And he pitched a complete game, struck out like 19.
Possible shutout, 27. Yeah.
Smoked them all.
Went like 5 for 5 with 3 home runs.
just fucking raked it.
Was it even the national? Was it like a high school girls team?
I thought it was a high school Japanese.
Whoever
high school
it was,
team.
He didn't hold it, pull a punch.
Yeah, that's a really funny story. Well, there you go. Ray, you are the coach of your son's basketball team. Have you ever thought about impersonating an 11-year-old once their Peloton really kicks in? You get down to.
Yes, I say yeah because I can't clean shave right now. I still have the semi just double chin, but yeah, it's coming next year maybe.
Well, I'm happy for your confidence. Keep it up. Every time I see you, you claim to lose some pounds. Once we start seeing that, once you come with you come with those mitts, those sweaty mitts, and we see those things start to. Bobby was taken aback by that. Ray dangled his fucking digits and Bobby almost threw up.
Sorry.
All right. This has been the Semi Sports Show Friday Rewind, March 8th/Thursday, March 7th. See you next time. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Wasted content there.
Well, yeah. You came on and you were fucking ready to go, guns blazing.
You shit all over me, right directly on my chin. The second I walked in, look at this.
Stop playing with the fucking microphone.
Look at this.
That's because
he's
so pissed off about you saying extracting the gay out of his kid. When you said that, when you sent that, I fucking died laughing.
You're breaking HIPAA laws, Bobby. God. You're breaking HIPAA laws.
Goddamn confidence. I was setting confidence over. Text Shane, Bobby. I really did not see that you sent it. I thought you were just there for you. Getting your
you played it well. If you
in.
Did. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God.
Yep. Fucking Rich just making fun of my 11-year-old like, son.
You're like, who, the doctor? And then you're like, oh, I see the picture.
Sorry, little Ray. Oh, but you know what? Not that boy. That boy hit the list last summer. He was giving me nonsense all day.
He gave you some lip. He gave you lip.
Yeah, he gave me some hard lip.
And he put you in your place, bitch.
That's fine. That's fine. Off limits. Off limits here. Once the live goes out.